So it's very encouraging to be here, to seeing a lot of young faces in the church. And I'm a bit nervous because this is the first time I'm coming out of the comfort zone of the pulpit. You probably see my legs going here and there. Don't get distracted with that. A couple of weeks ago, one of our MGL brothers got ordained as a deacon. I couldn't be there, but he joined the same year as me in 2005. But some reason he couldn't go and get ordained with us, so he had to wait a bit. Some people misjudged him, and his English was not that perfect. When he came, he only spoke yes and no. So people said, oh, we probably have to wait. There were questions about his suitability. And then finally, he got ordained as a deacon a couple of weeks ago. And he gave a beautiful Thanksgiving speech. And it's on YouTube, so I was listening to it. And I was touched by a word, an image he used in the homily, in the speech. And he said like this, Father Ken. He said like this, when this is true. In our first 2 years in MGL, most of the Saturdays, we drive around the suburbs and we see people putting rubbish outside, like in a good mattress or used things, and we just collect them and see whether we can use them. It's kind of a rubbish collection. And Isaac was very good in it. He used to go and find tables and chairs and computers and things, and even left out by Vinny's and Smith family and all. You know, so he used to go and collect it. And he was saying, Father Ken was like a rubbish collector. And he was like an item that was left on the street. Nobody wanted. But then Father Ken did not see him as a rubbish. Oh, who is the MGL? Did not see him as a rubbish, but rather see him as an item. And took him from the street and formed him. And now that he is a deacon. And that really spoke to me very profoundly when I was, and you know, living with him for 7 years, I know Isa quite well, and I journeyed with him in his struggle. We really need people in our lives, especially as when we grow up in a community which is so secular, where everything is based on competition, the way you look, especially the young people, you know, six packs and muscles and all your hairstyle and what you wear, what car you drive, all those things, you know, van shoes, you know, skinny jeans. Otherwise, you don't look cool. You know, wearing this, no, not cool at all. You know, if you are a young man, you should show your guns. So we live in a society where we are judged by our look. It's like Samuel going to find the king. God said to Samuel, go to Jesse's house, and he is looking at six packs, and he is looking at muscles and hairstyles and eyebrows. And then God said, it's not him. Finally, he finds his shepherd guy who is with in the field. So sometimes we can look at outside things. God looks at our heart. You know, why did Jesus was attracted to this blind man in the gospel? So if you have listening, the gospel was about a blind man getting healed. Why did Jesus was attracted to, or Jesus at the first instant went to this blind man? Why? Because of his blindness. If he was a healthy, young-looking guy, Jesus would be passing by. Like the Pope, you know? Remember the famous photo that went viral on Twitter and Facebook and all those things? The famous photo of a Pope going to hug a person with a so much, you know, a beautiful face, but not in the standard of beauty. you know, with so much, I don't know the English, you know. Yeah, things on his face and little bubbles and, you know, very deformed sort of guy. And, you know, Pope stopped and went and hugged and kissed. And that is the thing. So God is attracted to us because we are weak. Our weakness, our blind spots is what makes him get attracted to us. What makes him get attracted to us is our blind spot. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, I can't even speak. I'm a little child. And God says, that is exactly why I want you. He is attracted not by our talents and our skills, but he is attracted by the very fact that we are ashamed of. I was ashamed of my tongue, because this tongue was being very brutal and ruthless in India. Killed a lot of people, blasphemed, cut down many people. But that same thing, he anointed it in my life as a priest, especially with the charism of preaching in MGL. When people thought that Isaac Belianen is a rubbish outside, should be sitting on the street, he was taken by God. And giving a little bit of furnishing and designing, there it is. He is an item to be used in his church for his glory. The very reason God is attracted to you and me is our blindness. The very reason God comes to you and says, I'm standing in front of you and you are looking at me, it's because of my weakness or your weakness. One day, Leonardo da Vinci took a stone and his friend said, why are you picking up a stone, a rock? And he said, you see a rock, I see a beautiful angel in it. That is what God, when he sees us, he doesn't see us as rubbish. You know, the famous bishop, late Joe Gregg, he said a famous word, God does not create rubbish. Gives me hope. God does not create rubbish. You and me are no rubbish. Maybe we have blindness in our life. Maybe we are weak in our personal life. We may have problems and issues in our life. That does not disqualify my dignity in front of God as his beloved child. Beloved. Father Greg Homing was sharing yesterday, beloved means you are loved more than anyone else. You and me are the beloved of God. One day I was giving a retreat in Melbourne. This is a year 12 retreat, and I noticed this particular young woman. She's not attending to anything. She's sitting at the back, very gloomy. End of the retreat day, there's an inner healing adoration. I walked up to her and I said, why are you sad? Nothing, Father Bonnie. You do your business. I'm just here because of my mother. I said, I just had a sense to ask her something. I asked her, you are hurt by someone? And she said, yes. You know, she's from a background, Asian background, where she is to perform academically in school. See, if you don't become a doctor and engineer, that's it. Out of the specs. Yeah, get out of here. So she was pushed to study. You know, she made a beautiful cake, you know, in the school. The parents sent her to school to study, not to make cakes. So she made this beautiful cake. She take it home to her father. And her father looked at this cake and he was so upset. Is this why I sent you to a Catholic school? They teach you how to make cake. You are not studying. What about your science homework, your maths? When will you become lawyer or doctor? He threw the whole cake outside. And she could, he forgot about it, he went on, but she could never, ever forget it. It was deeply within her heart. You know what came into her heart? She believed she's good for nothing. She believed she's good for nothing. That evening I said, if you truly believe Jesus is the light, into this struggle that you don't believe you are good enough, can you invite him, saying, Jesus, I give you permission to be the light in my darkness, to really see who I am, really I am in you. That adoration, she cried out, and Jesus touched her. At the end of the retreat, she gave a beautiful testimony of how much she felt acknowledged and accepted by Jesus. My dear young people, I invite you. This is a place, of course it's a Eucharist, but a Holy Mass where you meet Jesus. Music is good. All these people, Hugh and Ellen, they are doing a wonderful job. But what matters? You meet Jesus tonight. Whatever be the reason, your blindness, you think your sins are bigger, that is what he's attracted to you. He's a weird romantic guy. He doesn't look at your six-pack. He probably look at your big fat belly. I love you. You know, Jesus got so weird aesthetic sense. He loves the adulterous woman who comes at his feet. He loves the sinner who is climbing on a tree and trying to get down to see him. Jesus looks at our weaknesses, and that is exactly where he wants to minister his love.